You would go ahead and open your Bible to Acts chapter 13. Since it's been a couple of weeks since we met, I'm going to begin reading. This will be our scripture reading. We'll bring us up to, I think it's verse 41 or 42. Acts 13, verse 1. Now these were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaim, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salmais, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. This was John Mark, the same one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He had went with Barnabas and Saul, and Barnabas and Paul on this missionary journey, which was with the deputy. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, or he took the name Son of Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, who was a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and he desired to hear the word of God from these men. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, it's the same one who went by Bar-Jesus, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. He didn't want this man that he worked for, this deputy, he didn't want him hearing the gospel. But he seeks Paul and Barnabas. I want to hear. This other man was a sorcerer, a false prophet, a false preacher. Well, then Saul, who is also called Paul, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he set his eyes on that man. You imagine what this man is doing. He wants to turn away this man from the truth. Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he set his eye on this man, and he said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil." He's not a son of Jesus. He's a child of the devil, and that's what he was, and that's what he is. "He's an enemy of all righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. One couldn't see, and one is now enabled to see. And he believed. He believed what Paul told him. And this man had been lying to him for years. And he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Basically, he could say, "I've never heard anything like this before." Verse 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem." John Mark left them. And remember, John Mark was Barnabas' nephew. And it was probably he began to look at everything and count the cost, and he said, "This is just too hard." So he leaves and goes back to Jerusalem. You can imagine how Paul and Barnabas felt, and you can imagine something how John felt. He probably felt ashamed, discouraged. "But when they departed from Perga," verse 14, "they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down." Just sat down with the other people. They didn't try to take a position of honor or anything like that. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Well, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand. He probably had to get the people to calm down so they could hear. And he said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Reference to those that fear God probably had reference to those Gentiles who had been converted to Judaism. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and he exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. Now what he's going to do, he's going to give them a history lesson of how God directed and raised up this nation. Now, it's not just a dry history lesson about facts and about people. No, you've heard me say it's his story. And he's going, some of these people have never heard this. They've heard of the Jews, but they don't know where they originated from and why they originated and why they were God's chosen people. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He's telling them that God elected them and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. That's when they walked in the wilderness for the 40 years. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Who destroyed seven nations? He did. God did. They were living on land that was promised Israel. The iniquity of the Amorites is full. They've lived there long enough. They've had time to repent. They won't repent. And the Lord drove them out. And he divided that land to them by lot. It was their inheritance. It was theirs. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And God raised up Samuel. Boy, they needed the prophet right after the judges, when everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. And you remember Samuel, his mother couldn't conceive a child, and then the Lord allowed her to conceive, and the Lord gave Samuel back to the Lord. And afterwards, they desired a king, King Saul. They desired one. Why? They wanted to be like everybody else. They were not like everybody else. They had the law of God, and God was their king. And they desired to have a king, and God gave them one. Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years, that man, who was nothing more than a giant of a coward, ruled for 40 long years. Be careful what you ask for. And when he had removed him, who removed him? God did. Remember what David did when he cut his skirt off and David's heart smote him? He said, I will not touch God's anointed. Even though Saul was a lost man, he was still put in that position by God. The powers that be are ordained of God. David realized it, and David would not touch him. His men that were followed David said, why don't you kill him? He said, if he dies, it won't be at my hand. And he didn't. God removed him. And he raised unto them David to be their king. This is God's king. This is a picture of Christ that God has raised up. David, all knew about David. To be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Now watch this. Which shall fulfill all my will. Not that David did that. We know David sinned many times. But the one who fulfilled his will was his son through his lineage, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says, verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. Jesus, of that man's seed, of David's lineage, read Matthew chapter 1. He came through. That's why he had to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Then when John the Baptist had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, John served a purpose. It's spoken of in the book of Malachi that John would be born. Our Lord said, there's not been a man born of women greater than John, but he that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, but when he fulfilled his course, it may not have lasted long. We don't know. Our Lord's ministry only lasted 3 months. John was only 6 months older than our Lord. But you remember what cost him his head? He went in and told Herod, he said, it's wrong for you to have your brother's wife. You're living in adultery. You're living in sin. And it made her so mad she had his head cut off. But when John, he couldn't leave till he finished his course. That wicked king and that wicked queen are still hearing John's voice today. You can't forget it. Screaming, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. But when he had fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. They thought he was the Messiah, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He's saying God has sent you salvation. He sent you the gospel. You are hearing things a lot of people have never heard. You are going to hear things tonight most people have never heard. They don't even have the slightest idea who Jesus Christ is. They don't know why things are happening. They're just in the dark. They can't see. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, because they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew about him but didn't know him. His own half-brothers and sisters didn't know him. They knew him as their half-brother. Who knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. You know what they did here when Paul went to meet with these people? He went and sat down, and what did they do? Like tonight, I'm standing before you reading the scriptures. They might not have made any comments. They may have just read the scripture. Every Sabbath day, at least once a week when they met, first thing they did was read the scriptures. And when they were done, that's when they asked Paul, do you have anything to say? He said, yeah, I got something to say. But they heard these things read, but didn't understand what it spoke of. Even that sad, a person can have such a knowledge of the book, and they don't know the author of the book. Because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them. Hey, they have fulfilled all them prophets in condemning the Son of God to death. If they had read the scriptures, they would have known. His hands are pierced. Crucifixion was not even imagined when Isaiah wrote that. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. They have fulfilled those scriptures in condemning him. He said, we don't want him. Been saying he's been watching some of these things on History Channel about the Romans, and it made me think that Caesar, he'll go out there like that and they're out there in that arena and he'll either do this or he'll do that. And you know what they did to our Lord? Everybody pointed thumbs down. Let him die. And they fulfilled the scriptures. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They condemned him because it said, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. We don't care if he's innocent or not. We could care less. All we care about is ourself. And all we want this man done, we just want him dead. And we can't do it, and Pilate, we want you to do it. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Now look in verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written. Verse 22, they fulfilled. Verse 25, John hath fulfilled. Verse 27, they have fulfilled. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. If you'll go home and read John 19 when he's hanging on the cross, when they gambled for his garment, his vesture, his coat, the scripture said, they cast lots for my garment. And they did. And then when he said, I'm thirsty, they gave him vinegar on a sponge on some hyssop that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. And when they gave it to him, you know what he said? He gave up the ghost. He said, it's finished. Well, now he's dead. And they command, they said, we can't have him hanging on the cross on the Sabbath day, on this high day. We want you to break everybody's legs so they will die quicker. So they go up there and they break the one thief's leg and the other thief, they break his legs. But when they come to Christ, he's already dead. Why? Because the bone of his body shall not be broken. Well, this man, he wants to make sure that he's dead. So he takes a spear and I think he sticks it right there under his rib to make sure he pierces his heart. But he never broke a bone. And he said, the scripture also said, they shall look on me whom they have pierced. To just think everything that's happening is the fulfillment of what God has promised to take place. And he told those people. And they just didn't understand. The disciples didn't understand when he said, I'm going to die. But I'm not going to stay dead. Because then we pick up, but God, verse 30, he died. He was buried because he was dead, but God raised him from the dead. If Jesus be not raised from the dead, we're of all men most miserable, and we don't have any hope. Any hope. That was, we was watching, it was talking about this one man. He was supposed to be a Christian from Antioch, which I thought was interesting, in like AD 70 or something. And he was a martyr. And the whole thing was about him, how he came, and he'd write letters and different things. But he comes there, and they bring him out there in that arena by himself. And they turn up and bring up a big male lion. That man's just standing there. And they can't understand why this man's not afraid to die. Because they are afraid of death. And they ought to be. And when it's done, that lion ripped that man into shreds. But they never, he knew that he could say more by doing that than saying, no, I don't want to. All he'd had to done was say, I bow to Caesar, and that has spared his life. He's not going to do that. Why? Because Christ rose for him. That's his victory. That's his hope. Martin Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other. But God raised him from the dead. Do you think about that? Why did God raise him from the dead? In Romans 4, it says, he was delivered, he was crucified for our offenses, our sins, and he was raised again for our justification. You know why God raised him from the dead? Because he accepted the sacrifice he gave as full atonement for sin. He said, come out of there. And he saw no corruption because, verse 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. What's it say in Psalms 2? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. What's Peter preaching to them? He's preaching the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. He says, if you'd had a Bible, he said, turn to Psalms chapter 2 and I'll show you. That's what we do. We preach the scriptures. And the scriptures reveal to us Christ. That's why he was risen from the dead. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to see corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. All those promises hang on Christ, the sure mercies of David. Why would God show us mercy? Why would he raise from the dead? Why would he rise from the dead? To show us mercy. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And he didn't. And look in verse 36. For David, who was just a man, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. What did David do? What did David do? He served his generation. God help us by his grace that could be said of us. What are we here for? To serve this generation in which we live. He couldn't serve our generation. We couldn't serve his generation. But he served his generation. He fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers. And David did see corruption. He did. His body did decay. But he whom God raised saw no corruption. His body never decayed. Why? These without sin. Our body's dying right now. Now, when our body, when the soul leaves our body and the breath leaves our body, we will begin to decay in a very few seconds. But he saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Sure, how can we be forgiven? I'm interested in that. It's God when he shows you mercy. God tells you how you can be forgiven. In Jesus Christ, whoso believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I'm the resurrection and the life. That's what he told Martha. I'm the resurrection and the life. This is our hope, that God would forgive me of my sin. David sinned. You know what the Lord said through Nathan? He said, you're not going to die, David. God has forgiven you of your sin. They're all forgiven. They're all taken away. Now, that's good news. See, the Jews and these Gentiles, all of them thought, we all thought the same. We thought it's by our efforts, something that we could do. And by him, all that believe are justified, declared righteous, forgiven from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh, that's where we get forgiveness. That's where we have justification. What does that mean? It's not as if I'd never sinned. God looks at it, never sinned. I can't imagine that. Justified, declared righteous, without sin. Go look for them. You'll never find them. They're buried. They're gone. They're behind his back. Justified, forgiven. Really? By grace, you mean God would forgive me of my sin? You mean God would forgive me of all my vain thoughts? Yeah. How can he do that? Because Christ died. And he raised him from the dead. As a declaration, he's the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn means there's going to be more to come. Because he rose, we will arise. Because his body was raised from the dead, our bodies will be changed. And by him, all that believe, do you believe him, are justified from all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. From which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. He lets them know right quick, it's not by trying to keep the law. And you either do this, you either bow to Christ or you believe in Christ or you believe in trusting your own works. There's no middle ground. And this is what these people hear. But now he says something. He speaks very solemn. These people have just heard what he said. Now basically, what are they going to do with what they've just heard? Are they just going to be indifferent to it? Or are they going to believe? Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken by the prophets. Behold, ye despisers. Despise what? They despise Christ. A lost man don't love Christ. He despises him. Why do those people want Jesus killed? They despised him. You know, that's a strong term, despising somebody. I just despise to think about them. That come which is spoken of by the prophets, I think it's in Habakkuk where this is referenced to, behold you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your day, a work which you shall in no wise believe. You shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Unless God does something, you'll never believe it. But you're responsible to believe. That's what he's saying. He said, you beware. God blinds. It's like that sorcerer. God blinded his eyes. And he can't see. And that man who couldn't see before, now he can see. Verse 42. That's a long introduction one. But now you get the picture. You see, it's like he brings them to the climax. What are these people going to do? Are they going to believe or not believe? And when the Jews which were gone out of the synagogue, after Paul preached his message, after he told them about Christ and justification and forgiveness, the Gentiles, I think I can see the Jews leaving and the Gentiles staying. Now these Gentiles, I think a lot of them have become proselytes to the Jewish religion. That means they have converted them. Remember our Lord said, they compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when they made him, he made him twofold more the child of hell than themselves. And they probably were just like most religious people. They were just interested in numbers. They were probably not interested in these people's souls. They probably, if you just ask them, they probably couldn't stand these Gentiles. But the Jews leave, and the Gentiles stay. And what do the Gentiles say? The Gentiles, verse 42, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. I've never heard anything like that before. And it's not just one or two. Many of them said, would you preach that message to us next Saturday, next Sabbath day? And what I can understand, he didn't wait a week to preach. He'd probably been preaching out in the streets probably all week. But he said, we want you to preach that gospel to us. They didn't despise it. They wanted to hear more. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. May God be with you. May God bless you. We want God to bless you, but we just don't want to hear you anymore. I think that's basically what they're saying in sarcasm. Well, what about the next Sabbath day? It's going to manifest the hatred and how much these people despise Christ because of what happens. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole village together to hear the word of God. It'd be just like us few meeting. Some Jews, some Gentiles. The Jews leave and the Gentiles said, we want you to preach to us next weekend. And something happened during that week. I see somebody inviting somebody. I want you to come hear this man. You've never heard anything like this. He talks about a man that was raised from the dead. You believe that? He talked about forgiveness of sin. He talked about being justified before God. I want to hear about that. I want to know how my sins can be forgiven, how I can be set free. And almost the whole city, it would be like everybody from Ripley and up at Ravenswood, all came in and said, where'd all these people come from? Somebody told them about somebody. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Where do these people come from? They're hungry. If you're hungry, you want to be where the food is. They're thirsty. When you get thirsty, you want a drink of water. They come to hear the word of God. Not to hear some little stories, not to be beat over the head with the law. They come to hear the word of God. But when the Jews, verse 45, saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. You see, they don't like it. Something's happened in the last week that they couldn't do. I could see them. Most religions, they want to fill up the church. They want to fill up the building. They tried to fill up the building and make them proselytes. They couldn't do it. Now the whole place is full. And they're full of envy. You know what envy is? Boy, I envy them. Joseph's brothers envied him. They killed Christ. You know why? They envied him. Envied him. What do they think they're doing? They want to take over. They don't want to take over. They just want to hear the gospel. Why were they so mad? Because they didn't like what they heard. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They said, this man's telling you a lie. This man's not telling you the truth. That's what they said. Just like that sorcerer tried to turn away that man from the faith. They don't want you to hear the gospel. They don't care if you go anywhere else. You can go to any church you want to. Just don't go to that church where they preach the gospel. And they envy you. You know what they envy? Your peace. Your rest. In Christ. What joy. They don't have it. They never found it. They can't find it in the law. And what's Paul and Silas going to do? Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They're not afraid of these Jews. They waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, because God ordained it that way. Preach the gospel to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And everywhere they went, they preached, found a synagogue, and they preached to them Jews first. He said it was necessary. We preached to you first. We didn't go looking to them Gentiles first. Should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, that's pretty harsh preaching. You've already judged yourself. You've judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. You don't want it. You don't want him. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light. This is in Isaiah 49:6. I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. You know who we all are? Gentile dogs. That's right. I'm thankful God sent the gospel to the Gentiles. A light to the Gentiles. They sit in darkness, blind darkness, pagans, worship all kinds of false gods. And now they hear the gospel? Don't you see verse 48? To me, this is one of my favorite verses in all Scripture. And when the Gentiles heard this, heard what? When they heard the gospel. They didn't get envious. They got glad. Do you mean God would save a sinner? You mean God would show grace to a sinner? Yeah, that'd make anybody glad. You mean I don't have to work for my salvation? That's what I'm saying. When the Gentiles heard this, you know where faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard and they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. Now, what's this last statement? And as many, how many were saved? How many is going to be saved that day? And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. God didn't wait to see if they were going to believe and then ordain them. They believed because he ordained them to believe. He ordained them to be there that day. He ordained Paul to be there that day. And they believed. And it's still that way. As many as God has ordained unto eternal life, they're going to all believe. They're going to all believe. How are they going to believe? It ain't because I'm a wise man. It ain't because I preach eloquently. That ain't how it is. It's if God enables them to see and believe. and they'll believe. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You know that man on that movie? You know how long it took them to walk from where he was at to Rome? About 3 or 4 months. You know why they went there to get this man? Because the gospel was being spread. We've never heard anything. We got to stop this. This is inside the Roman kingdom, the Romans rule. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I wish everybody in Jackson County, Wood County, Kanawha County, and all the other counties put together could hear the gospel. That the word would be published throughout all the region. Because everywhere these people went, you know what? They went carrying the gospel. But the Jews are not done. Anywhere the gospel is preached, they're going to be opposition. You can mark it down. There must need to be heresies. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. These are not just streetwalkers. These are devout women. These are women of means. These are women of influence. These are women that talk. Why did they go to the women? This is no slap on women. But when the Jews lifted up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, they said, get out of our coast. We don't want you. We have influence. People listen to what we say. And what we say is right. And Lord's in control of all that. I can tell you a little secret. People better be careful about running off the gospel. He will not stay where he's not wanted. He wouldn't stay in land of Gadara. But the Jews stirred up the devout. Stirred them up. Why do people get so mad? Why would people get so mad over a mask? Why would people get so mad over a shield? Why would people get mad like that? Because something's missing. It's called a new heart. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I can't worship. I said, if you can't worship, that's your problem. Worship is a heart issue. That's between you and the Lord. That's worship. Not what somebody else thinks, not what somebody else says. It's I want to worship God. That's why we gather to worship God. Not to see who's the biggest or the smallest or any of those things. We come to worship God. They wanted to stir them up. But they shook off the dust of their feet against him and gained Iconium. You know what our Lord said? He said, if you go into a city and they receive you, he said, you stay there. Somebody comes up and said, Paul, I want you to come. You can come stay in our house. But he said, if they don't receive you, he said, don't even let the dust of that city cling to your feet. He said, that'll be a testimony against those people. You think they had the gospel that close and wouldn't have it. But they didn't stop. They didn't go home hanging their head and say, well, we'll go back home like Mark did. They shook off the dust of their feet against him and came to Iconium. And the disciples, verse 52, were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Ain't God good? I know that probably ain't good English. They were glad that they were able to suffer for his namesake. I'm thankful for the gospel. I pray God would enable me to believe. Not trust in feelings. We're so prone to do that. But to trust him. And when opposition comes in, it will come. Because the enemy, just like he told that man, you're a child of the devil. Our Lord called people. He said, you're the child of the devil. And the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. And he's their father. But God's children are children of God. And we want to honor him. I hope that's been a help. Let's pray.